Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and just take care and spike your hair. Is that good?
Not good. Never do that again. Although it does bring us to Zack Ryder. Woo woo woo.
Woo woo woo.
You know it. So we might as well jump in, speaking of Zack Ryder, now that you've let in, because we did have a question asked of us from our one of our blog followers, Specs, had asked us if we thought that with this True Hollywood story, if Zack Ryder was just actually trying to get himself fired. And what are you thinking, Mo?
I kind of tell you the truth. Is at times I'm starting to wonder that myself. I mean, when first he would do some of this stuff, like putting himself on a basketball and then dropping the ball in front of the camera and go, the WWE has dropped the ball with Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, that was kind of funny and somewhat subtle. I mean, somewhat. and missed the boat with Zack Ryder when he was on a boat, little mini boat.
Yeah.
And the
most
stuff
recent
like that.
One was that he drew money, right?
Yeah, he drew money. I knew it. I could draw money. But there was the one where he's sitting there showing the Rock and Vince McMahon, and they were talking about how, the Rock came to Vince McMahon and said, I just want a chance to show I can draw money, and just want a chance to show I can be at the top of that card.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave it to me, and that's what I'm looking for in guys. And it was like a really, really in-your-face going, fuck, that's what I'm doing too, Vince.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing too, to quit ignoring me type thing.
Asshole.
And he's getting to that point where he's no longer being subtle about it, where he's going, give me that chance. And since they aren't, I wonder if he's trying to just piss him off. Is he doing what Matt Hardy did and trying to get out of his contract through the internet?
Well, I don't think so. I think, because quite frankly, who the fuck wants to go to TNA? I mean, really.
Who knows if he wants to go to TNA? That doesn't. There's people that want out of the contract just to get out of the contract so they don't get sued, so they can go and be work in the criminal justice department, so they can go and
the big boss man.
But no, there are people that some of them want to go to Japan, some want to go to TNA, some want just to never wrestle again. There's people who get out of the WWE and just don't want anything to do with wrestling anymore because it's not what they thought it was going to be.
But there's enough history that if you nut
CM
up
Punk
and ask.
CM Punk might fit in that.
If you have enough, there's enough history that if you nut up and ask, they will give it to you. MVP was released. He asked to be released. He was released. I believe that Luther Reigns asked to be released. And I would put at this point Zack Ryder probably on the same promotional level of a Luther Reigns in is how much they're using him. Now, the fact is he's got a million hits, right? And so I think at this point that's where he's showing that off to Vince and saying, look, you asked me, we've had that discussion before, in that this is what he's trying to do, is he's trying to get his point across. And I said all along I didn't think it would really work, or the other guys were waiting to see if it would work.
Mm-hmm.
But and so far, nothing, right? I mean, so he's not treated any different now than he was before, you know, these however many handful dozen episodes have aired.
Dozen, yeah.
So he, when he's doing all these things, I mean, it's hilarious and it's all true. So I think that the last one, or it wasn't the last one, it was a couple ones ago when he's playing the Rock's message, was definitely a clear-cut message. But I mean, they're all messages. When he got the brass ring, right? The ring of brass. He finally grabbed the brass ring.
That's right.
That was right after they showed the Vince
another one,
speech,
yeah.
Right? Well, it was right after the speech. Yeah. He said, I want to grab the brass ring. He said, oh, that's what you're looking for, right? So, I mean, my big thing is I don't think he's trying to get fired because I don't think he – if he wanted just to leave the business, then he could fucking nut up and do it, right? And just ask. And I'm sure they would be absolutely fine with it, right? And so I don't think he's too terribly worried about that.
I don't know. I mean, remember, there was somebody who asked to be released to go to TNA, and instead, I think it was Charlie Haas, at one point asked to be released, they just signed him to
a
raise.
That's different.
But they were worried he was going to go to TNA.
They
look at Zach and see all the internet stuff and go, we don't want to go to TNA, but we also don't want to use
him. They don't give a shit about TNA. Nobody gives a fuck about TNA, and I'm fucking sorry that we even fucking brought that name up again, because we're not going to fucking talk about it. No, you don't. But
no, you didn't.
Charlie Haas, the reason that they...
He said he doesn't want to go to TNA.
A different animal, because who the fuck does?
Maybe he wants to go to Hollywood, like Mahathir
exactly.
or whatever.
And did they have a problem with that? No. Go. right? They've got enough history of letting guys go. What are they going to do, keep him and fucking bury him? Well, fuck, he's not on TV anyway. He's on fucking Superstars. Well,
exactly. He's getting the downside.
Exactly, right? So if that's all they're going to do, then that's all they're going to do. I don't think he's worried about it. I don't think he wants to go anywhere else because there is nowhere else to go.
I disagree with that.
Well, Kip and Charlie, you keep bringing up Charlie Haas. They signed Charlie Haas to a raise, gave him a raise because that was right before January 4th when they were on and they were actually concerned. And then they went to Monday nights and they got obliterated, and now they don't give a fuck about TNA and its existence, and they let who go now? Charlie fucking Haas. Okay, so they don't care about him. They don't care about Zack Ryder going to TNA. Nobody gives a crap about TNA.
He's going to TNA. I said he might just want out of his contract.
Yeah, and what I'm telling you is that if that's the case, if he goes up and tells him, they'll let him out of his contract.
How come then it took so goddamn long and so was so hard for Matt Hardy to get out?
Well, because I think that was part of that was a different creature. I think that there was some wellness issues around Matt Hardy and his release, and I think they probably did try to possibly talk to him and get him a little bit of help. And he refused.
You're speculating.
I'm completely speculating. But Zach Hardy doesn't go on eating grapes on the fucking internet, does he? He does an entertaining wrestling show.
Yeah, he does what they show. Better. He entertains people better than they can do.
That's right. But Matt Hardy wasn't. Matt Hardy was going on and trying to get fired and giving people, and being sent home from shows and in England, even though he was still in the hotel. But all I'm saying is that it was two different issues. Is that Matt Hardy's is wellness related and Zack Ryder's isn't.
Okay, well, all I'm saying with Zack Ryder is I think he's at the point where it's starting to look to me like what he's doing is going, either use me, I can do something great for you, or let me go because I pissed you off too much. I think he's trying to push the envelope. I think he would take either one at this point. But maybe I'm wrong. Like I say, it's just speculation.
I don't know anything personally about Zack Ryder as an individual.
But Specs is asking this, it's not just me thinking that.
No. And as I said, I can see people because what he's doing is entertaining and he's going outside of the WWE auspices. And so to be doing that, I think the natural reaction to think that, well, what is he trying to do? Going to get fired because he's doing something on his own outside of their corporate umbrella, which is, generally speaking, a no-no, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we kind of talked
about.
And
even worse, he's successful at it.
Well, he is successful at it, and that's the...
and that's the crazy thing. That's even worse.
But I think he's got... I mean, he's fist-pumping with John Cena on Raw. John Cena's putting him over in an episode. So, I mean, if he has at least the top guy in the company somewhat in his corner,
John Cena's apolitical, though, essentially. He's more or less a kiss-ass, and that's it. Other than that, he doesn't politically get involved, which is a good thing for John Cena. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't really mean much for... I mean, he stood up a little bit for Evan Bourne. How'd that turn out? I mean, you know...
Well, he's still got a job.
Okay.
Everybody
still has a job. They've hardly let anybody go because they have such a little bit of roster depth at this point. So,
which, again, I think he's not getting a push. That is his status. He's status quo. My big thing is that if he does end up getting, is he taking Scott Stanford with him?
Scott Stanford's awesome on that show.
He is, you know.
So much more entertaining.
But then again, Scott Stanford also has
Scott Stanford be a good play-by-play guy if they're looking for somebody to replace, if they want to put...
he does Superstars, I think.
Yeah, I mean, could he do SmackDown if they're going to put, what's his name, Josh Matthews on Raw and replace Cole, put Cole in a different position then?
Haven't heard enough of him, honestly. Haven't heard enough of him. He's definitely, I mean, he does the
smart
sport.
Guy.
He does a New York sports, the sport on the news for in a New York station. So, I mean, he's a smart guy. I'm sure give him the chance and don't scream in his ear and maybe be fine. So,
yeah, so
but
no
who,
chance.
So no chance is what you got.
Yeah.
So who knows? But no, that's a great Specs. Thank you very much for
why is it the Zack Ryder, who we both love and are both right behind, leads to the biggest arguments in the show?
Because you don't have a clue what you're talking about.
That would be it.
Yeah,
wait.
That's how it is.
I'm gonna hit the next subject here, and this is something we mentioned we're going to talk about in the last show.
Right.
I call this rebuilding developmental, or how developmental got its groove back. What would you do to fix the developmental system, and what are your thoughts on the current developmental system? Actually, let's start with
that. My thoughts on the current developmental system is that I'm against discussing it if we're going to do it under those names. But... The current developmental system, we talked about a little bit on the last show about how the roster was just freaking jam-packed. You go to the FCW webpage and it's just like you keep scrolling and there's more guys keep popping up.
There's more guys on those than there is on either Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been of the opinion that developmental work the best when you had Heartland, you had Ohio Valley, and what was the other one that there was? There was at Memphis.
Memphis,
you had three developmental territories where guys could learn from, you know, a little bit different people and sort of the, and that's to me is the way that you do your developmental system is almost through a series of territory type situations where guys can move around, and if you are going to have someone like a Tyler Black, Seth Rollins there for, you know, let's say 2 years, then if he's spending, you know, 8 months in three different places, you know, to make it a 2 year span, then and then be brought up after he's sort of been exposed to a few different things, or and then, you know, I think that that will help the guys. And maybe Seth Rollins is a bad example because he's been in ROH, so maybe he just needs
Bull Rotundo.
One. You know. Well, Bull Rotundo or even a guy, you know, someone that they bring off from, like a Mason Ryan that they brought from Gladiators show in England, right?
Mason Ryan working in developmental for 3 years in different territories would have served him so much better than what he got, right? First off, X-Pac is doing some training now down there. So before we go any farther, I just want to ask you, what do you think on that?
Well, I think that speaks in part to Hunter's, you know, new position and how Triple H is really going to be the one overseeing developmental. So it doesn't surprise me that really the only member of the clique that's available, you know, with because obviously Sean is doing his own thing and is halfway retired, that can work. You know, is X-Pac. It makes that makes sense to me. Is that, you know, you can't get Razor and you know, what the hell is Kevin Nash going to show people at this point or any time really about work? But you know, but X-Pac, great worker, and still can go, I guess. And I think it's if you're going to pick someone and he picks his buddy, you might as well go with it.
I'm not sure Kevin Nash wouldn't have some things that he could show people how to get over.
How to get over, how to cut promos. Sure, no, he's got a use. He definitely does. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about in-ring, in-ring. Because X-Pac's going to get in-ring and train
some guys.
If X-Pac
is sober, he could be an excellent trainer.
And I think even if X-Pac isn't sober, because he's going to be high as a kite on pot most of the time, I think, anyway.
That's probably
so
true.
I just think he's an excellent worker.
Chris Jericho credited him with really helping him understand that WWE style. You know, he understands the WWE style. His psychology and understanding of psychology is good. Unfortunately, his grating personality kind of overshadowed his ability to work and get over it as his career went on.
But
so,
if he could
plus
teach
his
that,
behind the stage bullshit.
If he can teach that and translate that, though, we talked last show again about a Seth Rollins and him just going and learning a new style. Well, no one had to do that more than X-Pac, having those matches with Sabu and Al Snow in the Indies was a completely different style, and then coming over and having to learn to do the WWF at the time style, and I think he can really help some guys.
Okay, so back into rebuilding developmental, getting its groove back. You talked about how Seth Rollins could work for different territories. Yeah, if Seth Rollins was in one territory who had one gimmick, then if you go to another territory, you can see if that gimmick can get over as big on another territory. That lets you know if the territory like that gimmick, or if that gimmick actually has the legs. You know,
yeah,
so there's
point.
Practice on that. Then you can work as a heel and a face in different territories, practice that. You can work in a tag team in different territories. There's a lot of advantages to having more than one territory to go around with.
Yep.
You mentioned they earlier had three. So I'm going to write this down. We're going to rebuild this. Let's go. How many territories ideally do you have for, baseball has AAA, AA, and single A ball. For
Arn Anderson?
And they also have, college, I guess you could theoretically say in high school even, where people are developing. So
They are.
Yeah, So let's go. How many territories are you looking at?
14.
Seriously?
17.
Seriously?
No, I would say 5, maybe?
5 territories. Okay. Where would you place those 5 territories, and who would you ideally put in charge of them?
Well, I mean, I think Florida is a good spot to have it. I mean, I don't solely think that Florida is a good spot to have it. I mean, talk about Heartland wrestling in Ohio with Les Thatcher. You know,
Ohio has
another good one there. I think you'd want to have one in California.
California.
You know, you had Rick Bassman, and you know, he's the one that Samoa Joe wrestled for them, and John Cena and such. So
who would you have in charge of Florida, by the way?
Dusty.
Dusty? Sure. Okay. Yeah.
We said Dusty. We said Les. We said
California. Rick Bassman.
We'll just say Rick Bassman. Sure, in California. I don't know if there's anyone else. Maybe Texas might be a good spot, eh?
The Texas territory.
The Texas, Texas spot, and I'm just trying to think of who you might
Dory Funk Jr.
put in charge. Yeah, maybe Dory. I guess. Dory, yeah, sure. With the Funkin' Dojo, and you know, maybe have if Kevin Von Erich wants to get involved there as well. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any kids to push, does he?
Well, Lacey Von Erich wasn't his kid.
No, that was Tornado's kid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, and then, so that's what? That's four.
That's four. Florida, Ohio, California, Texas.
I'm trying to think of another place.
See, I'd like to see Toronto have a territory.
Well, you know, the only reason that I'm getting away from Canada, because I would put one with Lance Storm.
In Calgary. Lance Storm, Calgary would be fantastic.
Would be. It's just, to me, it's the logistical issues of crossing the border, mm-hmm. of the currency fluctuation and conversion, just really those two things. I think if you're going to be kind of starting up, I mean, if we're just spitballing and playing fantasy and saying, you know, anything can happen, then I put one in Calgary with Lance Storm.
So maybe somewhere else though in the Northeast though, somewhere Chicago, New Jersey, somewhere in that area.
I was going to say, I would think maybe if we could take the whoever's doing Jersey All Pro maybe and try to get that going, because you do want to have one kind of in your backyard, mm-hmm. Of Stanford and in that.
So who
sort
do you have
area.
In charge maybe, of say Jersey All Pro?
You know what? Maybe I put in Boston. Actually, let's change it. I'll put in Boston.
Boston, okay, yeah. No problem. So John Cena's dad.
Yeah, doesn't he have that Maryland championship or no?
Yeah, I think Boston? He does. Yeah, Maryland something like that. Actually, no. Who would you put in charge of Boston then?
I would. I mean, let's throw
John Cena Sr.
I mean, I don't know about see again, and that's just who I would put in charge of it. I would be seeking out somebody that has some. Some ties maybe to locally there and would be able to
now when you're saying you have these people in charge,
so
are you talking about
say,
booking as well or are you just talking about training? What are you talking about?
Well, that's – I don't know. Just the overseer, and maybe you get different guys that – I mean, it's someone – you have someone like a Dusty, right, mm-hmm. who could – book, but you know, X-Pac is going to do the training, right? And Norman mm-hmm. Smiley maybe, right? You know, so you're going to have different guys actually physically in the ring, and Dusty's just, you know, coming up with some ideas and booking, right? Mm-hmm. You know, with Les can show you a thing or two, you know, Dusty can as well, but you know, Les can again do some of the booking and television, right?
Okay.
So, and then maybe you have, I don't know, some other guys come in and be trainers. Like maybe you can get a, you know, maybe you get Al Snow back or D'Lo Brown or, you know, someone like that as a trainer.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So, that's different. And then, when you talk about Boston, I said, the only reason I picked that Cena Senior obviously is for A, for the name, and B, because he is running a promotion.
Running a promotion.
Already,
yeah.
Right? So, you can kind of get that and WWE. FIs it, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you got Dusty Rhodes in Florida, you got Les Thatcher in Ohio, you got California, Rick Bassman, Texas, Dory Funk Jr. or Kevin Von Erich, and John Cena Sr. in Boston.
Right.
So theoretically, how expensive would this be? Is this possible? Is this impossible? I mean, you'd want to get... I mean, theoretically, you're going to run a loss on this, but isn't it important to run a loss on this if it's building talent that can draw big money at the large stage? I mean, it doesn't have to be a huge loss, I wouldn't think.
No, I'm just going to say, I don't know that it has to be necessarily a huge loss either, because you can kind of co-brand, you know, in terms of, you know, when you think about Boston, right, and that, mm-hmm. you know, Cena Sr. is running a territory, let's say, there already. So that would be, you know, you would send guys and share the costs. And the big thing would be that, you know, in terms of having the promotions that are already there,
you can do
they shoulder
cross,
most of the cost
in
exchange for, you know, Randy Orton's going to come in for a Saturday show at you know, for Rick Bassman.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So
you can cross promote. Say you could, if you're, you know, you're California, Texas, they can cross promote a super show and hope to get 2,000 to 3,000 fans, that type of thing.
Oh, I don't even think you need to do that.
You know,
I just think all you need to do is you need to throw a WWE superstar mm-hmm. on, you know, every so often on any one of those five promotions shows for them to draw, you know, a big amount so that they can make the money and train the guys. And really all you're doing is you know, as I said, we've got lots and lots of guys already under these contracts, right, in the five places. So
well, we talk
salary,
about how difficult
well,
it
your
is.
Salaries,
to
though, are the same. So there's no additional cost involved in the salary. If anything, I think splitting costs, we're not talking about setting up new territories here.
No.
Florida, I mean, that would be the only thing, is that Florida is a WWF-owned and operated territory. They didn't buy into that. They created it. So with that, is a little different. But with these other ones, as I said, if you're talking about buying in and cross-promoting with different existing territories already in the area and really kind of pumping them up with a little bit of money, I don't know that that's going to be any more expensive in giving some money to existing promotions than it is to shoulder the full cost of Florida.
Yeah, that's probably true. And you know what? These territories don't all need to have TV. I mean, that would be nice, but ideally you just need to run shows, 3 to 4 shows per territory.
They need TV.
Well, not necessarily. Yeah. One or two of them does, but what you really need is just to run 3 to 4 shows minimum a week per territory, and you just need to tape them yourselves, you know, and have the people practice, have them do the matches,
yeah,
have them do the promos, and because learning a TV match is different things, so some of them do, but not all of them do. I mean, it'd be great if all of them did.
I was going to say, I would think that would be one thing that they would be looking for.
Yeah, it'd be great if they did, but I'd say if one or two of them had TV, that'd probably be good enough. Ideally, all of them, but not necessary.
I don't know how you're...
And you know what? You could have a territory that is focusing on... You could have different styles in the territory. You could have a territory that's focusing on tag teams. You can have a territory that's focusing on maybe a more hardcore style. You can do all sorts of things then to get people to practice.
And absolutely.
Because, I mean, that's something else that's certainly missing. I mean, with no territories for people to learn their craft, I mean, there's a different style in Mexico. There's a different style In Europe, there's a different style in Japan.
Right.
The people do sometimes get an opportunity to try these things, but they're usually short tours, and some of them never get an opportunity. And, you know, TNA has a different style, too, but, I mean, that's who cares. So, you know, ROH has a different style, but
ROH is
in many ways the most successful developmental territory they have, and they have nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
but
that's
in
right.
many ways, it's more successful right now than FCW.
Well, who all came out of... Out of Ring of Honor in WWE. We did have the low key came in for a little bit, but I guess Paul London, Brian Kendrick have gone through there.
Yeah.
You've talked
CM
Daniel
Punk.
Bryan, CM Punk, right? I mean, so...
I'm trying to think
of anybody else that's...
You can think of a couple other people that ended up in TNA, you know, that they developed, so, you know...
We're not talking about them, though.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, that's certainly more than I can think of that are successfully come up and made a splash. Yeah, I mean, the people coming out of FCW, I suppose I can think of Sheamus and Barrett, and that's about it.
David Otunga?
Nope.
Trent Beretta?
Nope.
What about Zeke? Did Zeke come out of there?
I don't care, because he hasn't made a splash.
Oh, well, dude, what if he jumped into a pool?
That's true.
He's a big guy.
He is a big dude.
Yeah.
Very strong. You know, wellness works.
Totally.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, that's kind of... I agree, though. I mean, that's what they need to do. They need to... If you're going to have... We talk about how difficult it is to have a roster of 30 wrestlers on WWE television, get them all on Raw every week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine if you have 60 wrestlers in developmental and one TV show. How do you get them all to work every week? How do you get them to have practice? How do you... This is just... This entire theory and the way they're running it is simply not practical. So... That's it. Okay. Anything else on that subject you want to bring up?
The only other thing that I would wonder is...
And working with different trainers in different areas also, different styles, very beneficial.
Would you do a shimmer situation, or would you incorporate women into all the territories?
You could do a shimmer situation, or you could have one territory which is not all women, but just more heavily focused, and then focus them around, have some women in different situations.
Yeah.
And since women often do end up not just as wrestlers, but as valets, then they have different situations they could learn that.
You keep saying that,
you know,
but I don't know too many that...
a few of them still
They do. They do, I guess, yeah.
Okay, so let's... Let's move on from that subject. What do you got?
Okay. Well, the only thing I wanted to talk about, we talked about developmental here and sort of rebuilding and what it looks like. The other story, I guess, that I wanted to look at that we didn't get a chance to last show was UFC offering the injury insurance to all of their fighters.
Okay. I want your thoughts on it first.
Well, I mean, for UFC, it's a good thing. But how, in fact, that impacts, WWE, if at all.
Or TNA even.
WWE, if at all. Then what I'm looking at is, we talk about injuries and such. And really all that this does is it would guarantee that you would be covered if you were injured, you know, in or out of competition. So if you're training as well, you would get it. Now, WWE guys get hurt training far less than UFC fighters, just because, you know, they're on the road.
It's a different thing.
It's a different thing. They're performing more than they're
and
training.
They get hurt and can still work their job in the type of injury that UFC often, the guys are, it's questionable whether or not they can go into a match in the type of situation that...
Well, and yeah, and what was happening is that if you couldn't fight, you don't get paid, right? Mm-hmm. So you're, you know, you're going to get a $4,000 payday for this. Well, now you're not, because you're not fighting.
Exactly.
So with WWE, there's the downside guarantee. So you're at least, if you're sitting at home injured...
Yeah, that was a point Wade Keller brought up that I thought was very interesting. That the idea that in some ways they are catching up to the WWE in the UFC, because a lot of people are lauding the UFC for this and going, the WWE, why can't you do this?
Mm-hmm.
But if WWE already provides a downside guarantee for somebody who's injured,
right,
then essentially isn't that the same thing?
Well, and, I mean, I look at the you know, like John Morrison's out right now. Did WWE not pay for that surgery?
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the other thing is, I mean, you talk about the
surgery,
Dr. James Andrews
sure.
and the Dr. Maroons and such, is that they send their people to those top. I mean, how many videos have we seen over the years of, you know, like of Edge rehabbing and Hunter rehabbing and Austin rehabbing from Dr. James Andrews? And WWE is footing that bill and paying for it. So where they don't have insurance specifically, it is still being paid for.
Okay, but if Brock Lesnar is on the way to his gym and slips on the ice outside of his cabin and hurts his leg.
You mean if Batista is jogging?
Yes, but no, he hurts his leg, right? This injury insurance covers even that, even though
right.
it didn't happen in training.
Yes.
Whereas if that happens to John Morrison at home, he's fucked.
Well, I don't know, he's fucked. He still gets
They're
to get
not it. Helping him.
Yeah, well, they
do have the downside, but they won't pay for that surgery then.
No, that's probably true, although they probably would make some sort of arrangement there. But they also pay him. So, you know, it's one of those things that, yes, no, that is the only difference, though, you're right, is that they the insurance would cover all sorts
of injuries.
Of injuries, which I guess, you know, is obviously that's a good thing. For them to have.
Well, when you first heard about it, you texted me and said, more evidence that Dana White runs a real company and Vince McMahon simply talks about doing it.
Well, and that still is my opinion, is that it's something that injury insurance is offered for employees of a company, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. They're treating their fighters like employees and not independent contractors. And Vince, as much as he talks about it, if he didn't want to pay for your surgery, he wouldn't. Now, that being said, I don't know of a situation where he hasn't, right? But he just, it's Dana White, and then I said Dana White, not, you know, just as the face of the company, but the Fertittas and UFC have really and literally put their money where their mouth is. And talk about the health and safety of them, of their fighters, and covering them and helping them. This does that, and this guarantees that it's done. And that's the difference, is that this guarantees that it's done, where you talk about, I mean, remember Test, you know, out rehabbing, and he's fired.
Yeah,
you know?
You've seen that many times, actually.
And the Test's the only one I could really think of, but, you know, it was a situation where...
Well, you think of even someone like Dawn Marie getting pregnant and getting fired.
Well,
right?
Okay, yeah, there you go. And I think Jackie Gata, too, didn't they? But
That was TNA. But TNA, when we mentioned this about WWE, and you say you didn't want to talk about TNA, many of their wrestlers get paid by the shot. They don't have downside guarantees. And Velvet Sky does not have a downside guarantee. She gets paid by the shot.
That's right. Because that company is shit.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
So let's move. Well, I'm just saying, fuck, I wish these assholes would do it. But you know what? Dixie just talks about being nice.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's what I said. When Dana White and the Fertittas are putting their money where their mouth is, and Vince, again, is talking about it and really is gone a different way. Now, if I'm a wrestler or a fighter, I enjoy that peace of mind, knowing that if something were to happen to me, that I'm covered. In UFC, I have that. In WWE, I don't.
Yeah. Okay,
right?
Look, check it out, dude. Look who's texting me. You want to talk to him?
Oh, yeah. Let me get him on the line here.
Awesome.
Let's get him on the line here. And hello, are you there?
Caller, you're on the line.
Well, you're the caller. Is this Larry King?
Baltimore, what's your question?
It's Mr. King. It's I'm actually in Calgary. It's Addy. We talk wrestling. You called in and we talked earlier, and you texted Mo. You'd said that you know, you'd had lots of wrestlers on your show. Has been a big fan over the years. You're now no longer on CNN. What have you been up to?
Now, when you're wrestling on Dancing with the Stars, Chris Jericho, does that translate at all?
Not sure quite where to go with that, but so what? You got some I guess some stand-up comedy tours, I guess, as far as well, I mean, you're going to be in Montreal and Toronto up in Canada here. What? How did that come about?
Hulk Hassan, what's your question?
Well, it's Addy.
Do you have any questions for Hulk Hassan?
I had a question for you, and it was just how your stand-up tour was going. Okay, well, it sounds like you're having a hard time there. So we're going to let you go, Mr. King. Thanks very much for calling, and you know, we'll maybe be in touch here. That would be great. So it was Larry King, everybody. I'm not sure.
You know what?
Sounded sick.
That's what he always sounds like to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think, you know what? He asked you some very interesting questions, and I found your response fascinating.
Well, I try to provide insight is what I do. It's what I do. So
I'm going to hit the next subject, if you don't mind.
Well, I usually do, but okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, how about this? Randy Orton is at the top of the card. They talk about how many people, you know, they can't cut a promo. David Hart Smith can't cut a promo.
Yes.
Drew McIntyre doesn't have any charisma.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan is boring.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best Orton promo you've ever heard? Because this guy's their second biggest star in the company, third biggest star in the company. Promos are the most important thing, always have been in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So what's his best promo? Name your favorite Randy Orton promo.
Name my favorite Randy Orton promo.
He must have many.
Well, my favorite Randy Orton promo was his debut when he said, hi.
Yeah.
And then Vince said, oh, you're Randy Orton. And he went, yep. And then, actually, in this promo, this is on SmackDown in, I believe, 2002, I want to say, is that Vince McMahon, of all people, said that Randy Orton's father, you know what he called him? Hell of a wrestler.
Hell of a wrestler.
A wrestler.
That's right, he did.
He did, yes.
He said this guy's dad was a hell of a wrestler.
And so was his granddad, a hell of a wrestler.
That's right.
In his own promo. So, to answer your question, I can't think of a goddamn Randy Orton promo.
That's the thing. I mean, I can sit here right now, and I can go, okay, the first time I saw the Randy News Network, RNN.
Yes, yes.
That was pretty great.
That was entertaining.
And then
right.
Shortly after that, I was on an episode of WWE Confidential, and it was him giving advice. He was now had become a heel, but he was trying to be a funny, likable person, still be a heel in this segment where he was actually giving training advice to some woman who had won a training advice with some WWE superstar.
Nice.
And it was pretty forced. I'm going, this guy doesn't, you know, this doesn't suit him at all.
No.
He got, I think there was maybe, I could think of one, I can't think of the actual specifics, but there was some promo around the time of Rated RKO that I thought was good. But, you know, I can sit here. I can tell you my favorite. I can tell you my favorite Christian promo. I can tell you my favorite. I can talk about favorite Chris Jericho promos, Bret Hart promos, Steve Austin promos, Hulk Hogan promos, Randy Savage. Fuck, I can sit here and tell you my favorite Gregory Helms promos.
Well, there you go.
Or even I could tell you, you know, times that I enjoyed Samoa Joe, you know, promos. But I can't. Or Kurt Angle. But here's this guy who's this megastar, and they talk about how important the talking ability is, and I can't really name a great Randy Orton promo.
All right.
So if this guy's a superstar, if he's like the
superstar.
Number two drawing card in the company, maybe, well, up there, you know, there's Cena and then Orton and Ray,
Mace.
I guess, are kind of the, you know, the next guys.
Okay.
Okay. If this guy has done this without a promo, then what the hell does promos actually mean?
Well, again, we talk about, obviously, but I we talk about, I think there is a charisma about Orton that he does have a presence, you know, and a lot of it now with his character involves, you know, he's got his act, right? He's got his routine. He's got, you know, where Shawn Michaels used to, you know, warm up the band, Orton, you know, puts him in the angle slam, flips over and starts, you know, punching his fist to the mat so he can throw his shoulder out and get ready in the crowd.
But
is,
even before
is there,
he was
right?
doing that, and the crowd was pumping to him. They pushed the guy, right?
Oh, that's true. That's true. It's just again, I and that's
he's always cut adequate promos. You can't. I never think what a terrible promo, but I just think. I mean, I could think Batista was a better promo. CM Punk's a better promo. Fuck everybody but Jeff Hardy, who's made it to the top of the card, was probably a better promo in recent history.
That's my painting.
Yeah, man. But don't use words that hurt.
I know what you're talking about. I see what you're saying. And I agree. I just it's kind of funny that that he hasn't delivered in the promo department. As you said, it's been adequate. And maybe, I mean, I don't know. I honestly, he is their number two star, as you said. But is that is he? I want to say, is he really the number two star? But what does that mean? I guess is the thing. Is what does a number two star WWE in 2011 look like?
Yeah.
And is he? When you say number two star, how big of a star overall is that really?
Mysterio, really.
And is that, and is that, well, Mysterio, what's your favorite Mysterio promo? I mean, he's got a little bit of a different deal, too, because he does the high flying
yeah,
mask, right?
Yeah.
So Randy Orton with his Viper gimmick and character and just, you know, he tried to do a little bit of Jake the Snake, and now Cody Rhodes is upstaged him.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes is a much better promo than him.
In that
he
regard,
cut a good
yeah.
promo on Punk right before Mania. That was a good one where he's sitting down and, you know, and in the backstage locker room, basically, you know.
Right, yeah, I think he was being, after he got beat up or
it was
something.
A short, yeah, it was a short one, just basically saying,
it was
saying,
a go-home
you know,
promo.
Yeah, just basically, you know, saying he's going to bring hell on this guy. But, yeah, I mean, I just think it's very interesting.
Well, he's for what he did to his second wife.
Yeah. Yes, yes. We have somebody who's just texted me.
Oh, okay.
He wants to talk about TNA. Actually, he's a good friend he wants to talk about Vince Russo. He's a friend of Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe hooked me up with this guy.
Oh, okay.
So it's not Samoa Joe this time. We know Samoa Joe's opinion, and if you don't, we interviewed Samoa Joe in the past.
Do we have a clip of that?
Wait a second. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. I'm gonna play it. Fuck Russo. That was what Samoa Joe said, yeah.
Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, it
I
was
remember.
Good.
It was a great.
It was actually accurate, too.
It's true. Very true.
But,
So he's a friend of Samoa
Booth,
Joe.
Cole
then.
Booth, Willie, how you doing?
Hey, Damo. I'm doing fine, Dad. Thanks
for
asking.
So Vince Russo, you're a big fan?
Oh, fuck Vince Russo. I'll count and fist that motherfucker with a Louisville fucking slugger. What does he think of that, ass fuck?
Well, what about Eric Bischoff? What do you think of him? Eric Bischoff called you a pussy.
He called me a pussy. Eric Bischoff. That Eric Bischoff. He cut a quite a good sermon the other day.
Yeah, yeah,
quite
you liked it.
Quite a good sermon.
Yeah, yeah. He and Vince Russo are working together. What do you think of that?
Well, fuck him. That repeating motherfucking piece of shit. Eat shit. Eat my shit.
Okay, and Hulk Hogan is the other guy there. Hulk Hogan, big draw. I trust you're a fan of Hulk Hogan. You like Hogan?
Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, great, great guy, Hulk Hogan.
You like Hulk Hogan?
Oh, Hulk Hogan.
But,
we charged him, when he came through, I charged him $1.25.
$1.25, really? Really, and Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan, you're okay with them. But what about Vince Russo? What do you think about? Because he texted me and said that
Vince
he
Russo
thinks that
can
you
eat
smell
shit.
Like...
Eat my shit, Vince Russo, you piece of reverberating piece of shit.
Okay.
Dixie Carter, that cum guzzling queen!
Anything else you want to say before you go?
No, thanks for calling, Mo.
Thanks, Toll Booth Willie.
Toll Booth Willie, I really like him.
You know what? I got another call from somebody else. Joey Lawrence, what do you think of Toll Booth Willie?
Whoa.
There we go.
Holy.
We're going to hit...
The stars are coming out.
Star-studded show. Okay, I'm going to hit another subject here, if you don't mind, unless you've got something you want to hit.
No, go right ahead there. I'm still reeling from Toll Booth Willie.
How good a position is Chris Jericho in right now?
Missionary.
Yeah, yeah, with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, but how good a position is
Daddy?
This guy in to, I mean, they need him. They need him much more than he needs them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to get a push right to the top of the card to get a big contract, you think this guy's laughing all the way to the bank right now.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, he's a wrestler, that's what he does, but, I mean, that's what he's done, but he's also... You know, made a lot of money in his day, and you know, it's his. You know, he's not, as you said, they need him more than he needs them. So we're talking about, you know, getting a good contract money back. Of course, he's gonna, you know, try to get the most amount of money he can for, quite frankly, the least amount of work possible if you want to talk about dates and being able to do his outside projects with Fozzy and stuff. He isn't in a great position. When you say so much that they need him to come in and do a main event thing, I think he is going to come in on that main event slot anyway, because I think he's earned that with his last run, is that he's Chris fucking Jericho, essentially, and he's going to, whenever he comes in, he's going to come in at the top. Whereas when he came back last time, I don't know that he was quite cemented.
Well, he came in to save the company, and then Triple H spent the time laughing at him for
no,
that.
That's not last time. I mean, last time he came in, save us 222 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And Triple H walked around going, "This is the guy who's going to save us." Oh, and made fun of him for that, right?
Well, he did behind the scenes, sure. But what I'm saying is, when he came in, he wasn't cemented or solidified. He went out in a main event match on Raw with John Cena before, when he left and got carted away like a heel, which was, you know, it was a good move. But he wasn't at the top of the card long enough and in that main spot long enough that when he came back, it was just like, oh, shit, Jericho's back, main events for sure. Now when he comes back, it's, oh, shit, Jericho's back, main events for sure.
Yeah, okay. Right? Do you remember how he left this time? Do you remember what the angle was? You talk about how he left and he was kicking and screaming, and Eric Bischoff threw him out in the trash, basically, because in the angle versus Cena. But do you remember how he left this time? I don't remember at all, to be honest.
No, I'm just trying to think that of how he...
I'm sure it was something good, but it obviously was not as memorable as before. He said he's not even sure if he's going to come back unless he can come back as something new. And, they need him as... They need a heel more than they need a babyface, though, which is what is ironic.
I think the thing with him leaving, too, is that did Edge, maybe it was Edge, he put his career up on the line against Edge for a last thing, and Edge retired him. But the other thing was is that they did fuck with him so much when he was off Raw 18 times, right, and he kept coming back. And so to do a retirement
because
of Chris...
Because they needed him because he's
so
good.
No, that's fine, but to do the retirement of Chris Jericho and just given all the other things, but just looking at Chris Jericho alone is the fact that, as I said, he was leaving, this was his final night on Raw, like, 8 times in 2009,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, for that, to do a retirement angle, I don't know, would have gone, you know, not anybody would have given a shit. So it probably is just better that it wasn't memorable and he just left.
Okay.
And then when they do the vignettes to bring him back, then it will be, oh, yeah, right?
So. Okay, excellent. I'm going to bring up another subject here. We got a question about our backgrounds. And so I just want to say we never worked in wrestling, just in case anybody's thinking that. You ever work in wrestling?
I was in junior high. I had wrestled.
Did you? Did you ever work in broadcasting?
In
broadcasting.
In when I was like in grade one.
Yeah.
I made some videotapes.
Ever work in comedy?
I'm just funny.
Yeah. That's our background, folks. Thanks for listening. We can't believe you are. It's awesome.
Did you want to read the name of the person that was a question? That was someone that emailed us?
Yeah, it was called The Bannable. It was from Cone, England. It's Cone, Germany. Sorry. Cone? Oh. Is that how you pronounce it? Colon? C-O-L-N? Colon? For The Bannable. From Cole.
The Bannable from Germany.
So that's it. But thanks for we're fans. What we are is passionate fans who love wrestling, just want to go out there. We've talked about it to each other forever, trying to crack each other up, and now we're just doing it on the radio for you guys on the podcast. And thank you very much for all the listeners. There's a bunch of you.
Thank you. If I had known, I just would have emailed you back. I don't know that anybody really cares too much to hear about our background, but that's all it is we're just fans who like to talk it. So
yeah, we love talking.
What's the next subject there, Mo?
Okay, so we got
time for one more, I guess, eh?
Well, we got one. We got to answer this call.
Oh.
Got to take this.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We got former WCW main eventer. I've got Dennis Rodman on the line here. Rodbod, how are you?
Well, I'm excellent, man. How are you doing? How are you doing?
Dennis Rodman, you're an NBA Hall of Famer and as I said, a former WCW main eventer. What was it like being in the ring at Bash at the Beach?
I mean, I was in the ring with the Rest in Peace, and there's Hulk Hogan, and there's the Karl Malone, you know what I mean? Me and Karl Malone, we double-teamed that wife, man. We double-teamed the shit out of that. We treated with solid mic, sucked my cock and stuff, and the pussy felt so good, mother shit. Shit!
All right, well, that's... Okay. You also had a match against Macho Man Randy Savage at Road Wild.
Randy Savage, motherfucker. But you know what? Him and Elizabeth, and you know what? We, the two of us, we went pound that shit and went inside the ass and shit. You know what I do? The ass to mouse and shit. No, motherfucker. Shit.
So the match was good, was it? Okay. And now, also, let's talk briefly. You remember the NWO really brought a lot of celebrity and spotlight to NWO WCW at the time. How did that come about?
I mean, my wife and Carmen Electra, you know, Carmen Electra, she blew all of us in the NWO, you know, going down deep and going down deep. Okay. Motherfucking, this bitch swallowed, right, man. Yeah. Motherfucker, she.
Okay, well, so thanks very much. We're going to have to let you go here. Some time constraints, but thank you very much, The Worm, Dennis Rodman. Any time you want to come on, you just let us know.
Fuck y'all later.
All right. That was, wow. NBA Hall of Famer.
NBA Hall of, you know what? That was lewd.
Well, that's why I did cut him. I was getting, we just.
It's this just is, embarrassing.
Well, we try to stay clean here on the show and just we with do. The language we and do. Such. We'll have to put it in an yes. explicit.
This has been our clean episode.
We have to put explicit on the, on the iTunes here, I think, after this one. We try not to have to do that, folks, but no. So if anybody was offended, we apologize by the Dennis Rodman's language there. But let's.
If you understood him.
What? Oh, you didn't understand him?
I couldn't understand a damn thing he said.
Oh. Well, he's very eloquent.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Well, you know what? My favorite, you love that promo where Eric Bischoff had to cut him off between him and Randy Savage.
Yes.
They just went way beyond things you could say
on live
TV.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fantastic. So I did get another email here from our good friend Davey Davey.
Oh, Davey Davey's back. All right,
Davey's back. Davey Davey's talking about how, I think it was 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago, where you mentioned WWE is essentially considering The Undertaker retired.
Right, yeah, I don't remember how that shows you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and just a match at WrestleMania and probably a match against Triple H and probably be both of their last matches, speculation now.
Right.
So he wants to know, they never did the Taker-Cena match. So did they leave a lot of money on the table, and why didn't they do it, in your opinion?
Well, did they leave a lot of money on the table? You know, I think that is a money match, and I say it's going to be
so few
a money match. But the way that I see it is, I do think that Undertaker, all intents and purposes, they're considering him retired. I think they're going to do the retirement deal for him at WrestleMania. I really think that that's going to be a promotion in Miami, that this will be Undertaker's last match. I think they may go that way.
Yeah.
But what I also see is, which will fit in nicely, because I'm thinking around, you know, by the time WrestleMania 30 comes around, by the time that, so maybe not WrestleMania 30, but in that range of time.
He's had a couple years off.
I think it's going to be time to pull the trigger on the heel turn for John Cena.
I think it was time actually this last Mania.
Well, I know, but I think in terms of what they're going to do, and you got to bring somebody else up, though. I agree. I'd like to see Cena as a heel, but you've got to have a face to fill that spot.
Think what you have to do is you just put him as a heel against Rey Mysterio, against Triple H, maybe one time.
I think you need to
versus John Morrison. You just have all these guys line up and him knock him down until he faces the Rock.
Then what's the difference?
Then he faces the Rock as a hero in his own town match, and the Rock fights the Rock so hard that he earns the Rock respect. At the end of the match, he beats the Rock, and the Rock shakes his hand, and he's a face again. Simple.
When I do Cena as a heel, I do that for a longer run to
do that down the road
to
again.
Mean more, right? And
I think 1 year is enough for it to mean something for him. If he was a heel for one solid year, then some of this hatred people have and the people wanting to cheer to boo him, they might get that out of their system. Because sometimes you've seen people who turn, like The Rock turned heel, but it didn't last long, right?
I still think a heel turn, you got to be...
Austin didn't last long.
No, it didn't. But that was the wrong move. And for Rock being a heel, at the end, was just more of a, you know, was because, again, yeah, you're right, people wanted to boom. But he wasn't around a lot either, right? So and he's so damn entertaining. And Cena doesn't have that going for him. So what I do is again, Undertaker retires, and then I have Cena be a heel, and maybe at a SummerSlam, you know, a year and a half. There is it, the you know, with the promotional come up is where the gong comes in and Undertaker's coming to set John Cena right, and then you've got a big money match there, and it's only one match, and Undertaker does it and goes back
and he goes over on Cena because it's just one match at a Mania. Or does his streak end then at 20?
No, I don't do it at a Mania.
Okay,
that's
you
what
don't
I'm
do it
you.
At Mania. Okay. Okay.
He does go over, though.
Okay, so why do you think up to this point they've had these two at the top of the card together here for the last 7, 8 years or whatever and never done the match? Why do you think they haven't? Would you have?
I don't know. Well, again, it's something that...
They teased it once on a Raw and a
when
dark
were,
match.
When they were doing the streak, because that was going to...
shortly after Cena came over.
Going to be... The plan at one point is to do. I think a couple times now it's going to be. That's been sort of the penciled in plan. But I think when you're doing the streak, I don't know that anybody thinks that really that John Cena and Undertaker. I mean, it'd be a big match, no doubt. But I think circumstances really never came to be in that you had two Shawn Michaels in a row matches for Taker, which do you scrap one or both of those for a John Cena match? Hell no. And then you had Cena involved with the WWE Championship and The Rock there.
Nobody gave a shit about the WWE Championship and him involved.
No, but it had The Rock involved in doing that. You don't have The Rock involved. In order to set up WrestleMania 29...
Even previous, I mean, they've had 7 years to set this up. They've
I'm giving you three of them here. Okay. And then when you go back, I mean, the only time maybe that you would have...
They could have done it. Didn't have to be at a Mania. Could have been at a SummerSlam.
Well, I think that's a Mania, though. I think that's a streak versus Superman match, right?
Yeah.
Because that's where you get your most bang out of it, is that can John Cena end the streak, or can Undertaker survive this guy that runs through everybody,
okay,
the company
well, let's
guy,
put it this
the
way.
Top
You're talking
guy.
About these
can
last 3 years. Okay, prior to that...
Well, that's where I was going with it, is when it was Edge, Big Show, and Cena in that three-way at Mania, that's when I would have maybe pulled the trigger on doing it against Taker.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember who Taker fought then.
No, I can't recall.
Unless Taker was hurt, which is possible.
I don't think he was on that one, but...
Which WrestleMania was that? That was WrestleMania 20...
24? 23?
Skin?
Now look it up. But, I mean, you had the... when he faced Edge, he could have been Cena instead. When he faced Batista, even. You know, you could have done it then. I mean, there's been a lot of years. And as for just the speculation, personally, why I think they've never done it, is because... I mean, part of me thinks...
Didn't he fight Bruiser Mastino?
No.
Oh.
No. Yeah, well, actually, he did fight Bruiser Mastino at two WrestleManias.
I see. Okay.
Because Kane was Bruiser Mastino.
So let's see. It was WrestleMania 25, right? That was in Texas there that they had? That's what it was.
Yeah.
So, I'm just trying to find all the match listings.
Find
here.
All the
so
stuff.
Continue
and you
to
keep
talk
talking.
Here.
Yeah, keep talking. You want me to keep talking? You keep talking.
I never
filling
want,
time.
I never.
Is this as
talking.
Entertaining to you as it is to me?
Okay, so 25 was Taker and Shawn. Okay.
Okay.
And so the first one. So that's when you had that three way thing.
Okay,
with
so what
Cena.
Was
24? So 24 was against Edge.
Okay.
In the main event.
And 23 was Batista.
Yeah. So I can't. I can't look back with Undertaker in any way.
I think the one with Edge you could have done, because didn't Cena take on Shawn Michaels?
What?
Didn't Cena take on?
No, that was the one against Batista. Cena would have. I don't know what Cena did that one, but that was the one with Shawn and Flair and Money Mayweather.
I think that was the three way. No, that wasn't the three-way.
No, the three-way was the 25. The three-way was in Texas. So, no, that's what I said. In hindsight, I look back at probably the last 7 years of WrestleMania, and...
You could have fit it in.
Maybe, but I don't have any regrets on anything that Undertaker's done at that in the last 7 years.
I suppose.
Right? So
you could have fit it in.
But again, do I swap out Cena for a great match with Batista? No. That match
turned out much better than
that match with Edge. No.
I would have, yeah, the Edge is the one I would have.
See, that...
Because Edge had already lost a little bit of steam at that point because they had already beat him the previous year and did his WrestleMania streak. If he still had the streak going where he was like 8-0 himself, then for sure I'd do it. But if you had him, since you had him lose the year before, it would have been a much bigger match.
Could have thrown it in there, sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were counting on Money Mayweather to be the draw there anyway.
Yeah, the question, that Mania did over 1 million buys.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's put it this way then. Why didn't they do it? Like, I think that part of me is thinking they want to protect Cena. They don't want Cena to lose, and they don't want Taker to lose.
No, but that's what
it was. Or part
of
me is thinking they don't want Cena to be booed, but then they put him against Shawn Michaels.
Right.
You know? So I kind of wonder. I mean, it's just,
It's just you again, have so few matches that can draw. Why do you leave someone on the table for that long? Well, because it just seems like bad business.
But again, what did we just go through in the last 7 fucking years? Yeah. Like WrestleMania 23 in Chicago? Is that no 22 in LA was when both Batista and Cena won their respective belts, right? Mm-hmm. So that's 22, and now we've had WrestleMania 27, right?
Yeah.
So from then on, so we're looking at WrestleMania 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. So there's been five WrestleManias. You said the last 7 years. There's really been 5 WrestleManias, right? You take 2 of those with Shawn Michaels out of the equation, right? There's 3. They had a match with Batista, which was great. So you take away now you got 2. The one with Hunter and Cena interacting with The Rock, right? So I have Cena interacting with The Rock more than I do with Taker. And so, boom,
if they didn't have
one.
The Rock going, I'd say Cena, Taker next year. Yeah. But with The Rock,
but
yeah.
Now you've got Edge, right? Yeah. So you're talking about why didn't they do it? Why didn't they pull the trigger? In terms of timing in a WrestleMania setting, it just hasn't happened.
Okay.
So I don't see. And now, does that make another potential blockbuster match down the road? Would especially now that they fucking need them so badly, I think it's a good thing in hindsight that you've never pulled the trigger on it.
I suppose it is nice to have it down there.
Down where?
Down there.
Oh, okay.
Just nice to have it in your back pocket in case you do need it down the road. I suppose
your back
there's
pocket,
that.
Huh?
Or your front pocket.
Yeah.
Down there.
Down where?
Anyways, let's do one last thing here before we call this a show.
Okay,
let's play a game.
Okay.
I call this game, I call it Guess Who's Older. I spent a lot of time on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know what I'm doing now.
Well, what you're going to do is guess who's older.
Oh.
So I'll give you two names and you could guess who's older.
Okay.
Excellent. Excellent.
Excellent.
Excellent. All right, let's start with an easy one.
Your
mom? Maybe not. No. Big Show or Mark Henry? And it can be a tie as well. Tie, winner, loser.
Winner. I am going to say that Big Show is older.
They're both 39.
Okay.
So that's an utter fail.
It kind of makes sense because Olympics 96, and that's about when the Big Show debuted in, what, 95 or so, right?
Yeah. So, Vince Russo or Jim Cornette?
Jim Cornette?
Jim Cornette's 49. Vince Russo's 50.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why isn't he in the ring?
good point. Teddy Hart or Tyson Kidd?
Teddy Hart.
Teddy Hart or Tyson Kidd? Guess what? He's 1 year older. Good guess.
See? So
you got one. You got one.
Also more annoying.
Yeah. Greg Valentine or Ric Flair?
Ooh. Valentine.
Valentine's 60.
Okay.
Ric Flair's 62.
But, okay. And that's true. Well,
it took Valentine 45 years.
Just to get warmed up.
That's right. That's right. So, Jim Duggan or Butch Reed?
Jim Duggan.
Jim Duggan is 57. Butch Reed, 56.
Okay, see, so I win.
You win. Harley Race or Superstar Billy Graham?
Superstar.
Superstar 67.
Okay.
So he is younger by 1 year.
Okay. So how old is Harley Race?
68.
Oh.
Thank you. John Morrison or Jack Swagger?
Swagger.
Swagger is older?
Yes.
Swagger's 29. John Morrison is 31.
Okay. Well, I thought it was a trick question. Swagger looks like he's 18.
Swagger does look like he's 18. D.H. Smith or Sin Cara?
Well, Sin Cara has that young face. So...
Much like Rey Mysterio.
Much like Rey
Mysterio.
He looks
13.
Actually, he does. But yeah. I would say DH is older.
DH is 25.
Cool.
Sin Cara's 28.
Okay.
So you're wrong again. Dude, you suck at this.
I don't know.
Chris Jericho or Lance Storm?
Jericho.
Jericho's 40.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Storm's 42.
Okay.
Did I mention you suck at this?
Yeah, I don't know how old anybody is.
You apparently don't know how old anybody is. Yeah, Vader or Bret Hart?
Vader.
Both are 53.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but what month?
Good point. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Nash or Marty Jannetty?
Oh. Excellent. Marty.
Marty is 49.
Nice.
So that makes him younger. Kevin Nash is 51.
Wow. Well, Kevin Nash just looks so young.
Okay, Randy Savage or Hulk Hogan?
Savage. No, sorry, Hogan.
Hogan's 57.
Okay.
Randy Savage's 58.
Told you. All right, let's do one more.
Just one more? I'm going to look for a good one then.
Okay.
What's a good one?
Because these have all been so easy thus far.
I can't think of a good one here. Chris Masters or Ted DiBiase Jr.?
You're looking for a good one, and you pick Chris Masters.
Chris Masters or Ted DiBiase Jr.?
I'm going to say Ted DiBiase Jr. is older.
You're wrong. They're a tie. They're both 28 years old.
Wow.
Chris Masters is much younger than I thought. At 28. I figured that's about where Ted
He's been around for a while, though.
That's the thing, right? So, he was very young when he was brought up to the roster.
I guess he was, yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for another
I'm going to do one more.
So.
Jeff Jarrett or AJ Styles?
I would say...
No, I mean Christopher Daniels. Jeff Jarrett or Christopher Daniels?
Christopher Daniels is older.
No, Jeff Jarrett's 43.
Okay.
Christopher Daniels is 40.
Wow.
Yeah. CM Punk or The Miz?
Okay, we're done with this game.
One more! CM Punk or The Miz?
Punk.
Punk is 32, okay. So he is older.
Told you. So Miz went on a winning
Miz,
mode.
Folks, we're done with is the game. 30 years old. Okay. No, we're going to do John Cena. Are we going to do John Cena now?
No, you could do John Cena, but get the hell out of my house if you are.
Okay. Fine, be that way.
All right. So
John Cena or Alberto Del Rio?
In the meantime, and
wait,
in between time.
No, wait, I have a joke to tell.
That's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night.